Good morning, Wake. What's going on? Guys, I get the joy. Also, first, my name's Ryan Fitch. I'm a resident here in the Wake Ministry. That means I'm in the Watermark Institute, and I'm so happy to get to open God's Word with you this morning. And I get the honor of kicking off our new series, as you can see by the awesome bumper. It's Better Than. And what you saw in that was a lot of different sports highlights. You saw Michael Jordan, Megan Rapinoe, like all these greats in their sport, and they were better than other players. And so the reason I kind of chose that as being the sermon bumper was because, like, I wanted to show that there's obviously a better way. Like, they became an athlete and they became the greatest in their respective sport because they were better than. They chose the hard and narrow path to become a better athlete. And so we're kicking off this new series, and what we're really going to be talking about is how when we live according to God's word, it would always be better than living according to our own desires and what the world says and tells you how to live. Because sometimes we can get caught up in the, hey, don't do this, or hey, you can't do that of Christianity, and we get all these commands out of the Bible, but we get confused and like, man, I don't really know the why behind that. Like, I know what not to do, but I don't know what to do. Like, why is there a better way of not doing all these commands? And so throughout the series, we're going to be looking to God as a guide as we navigate topics like why satisfaction in Christ is better than striving for our own desires, striving for our own popularity. And then we're going to talk about why a call to obedience to Christ is better than the cost of disobedience to him. And then another sermon that we're going to do is why compassion for others is better than critiquing others. And today we're actually going to be talking about why building up others is always better than tearing others down. But before we hop in, I just want to pray for us real quick. So, Father, we come to you this morning, Lord, just thankful that we get to gather and we get to worship you and sing about how great you are, Lord, and how we want to build our life on your firm foundation, which you've given us in your Son, Lord, you've given us in your Word. And, Lord, just get to sing about your goodness and how good you are to us, Lord, even when we don't deserve it. So, Father, I pray as we open your word, Lord, and learn of how we should seek to build up and encourage each other, that we see the joy in that, and we see the damage and the hurt that comes from tearing others down and discouraging others, Lord. So will you help us live as you've called us to live, Lord, according to your word, according to your commandments. Lord, we thank you for this, Lord. May nothing of Ryan Fitch be remembered, but everything of you, Lord, of your spirit. Lord, so would you use me this morning, just in your spirit, to relay your truth to your people, Lord, and how much you love them. And it's in your name that we pray. Amen. Well, like yesterday, I built this little astronaut man out of Legos. So you see, it's a little, really small. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. It took a lot of effort. It took me about 30 minutes to build this little thing. It has so many different, yeah, wow. It can change into a spaceship. It was a 3-in-1, but I don't know how to build it. I don't have the instructions. But it took me 30 minutes, and I had to follow the instructions really, really well because there's all these little tiny pieces to put together and know exactly where it's supposed to go. And I followed the instructions because I wanted to build it correctly. Like, I could have looked at the picture and been like, I think I know how to get that. Like, I have all these probably 250-something pieces here, and I think I know how to build it. And I could have done that, but I bet money it wouldn't have looked this good. It would have probably looked similar to a man, but it wouldn't have looked like this. And so the reason I share that today is because I think it's a great way to think about the topic we're addressing, of how we need to build up others. It's always better than tearing them down. So when I followed the instructions for building this little Lego set, it's just like how we are to follow the instructions that God gives us in the Bible. Like, friends, we have our own instruction manual that's been given to us from our God. 2 Timothy 3:16 says that all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, and for training in all righteousness, that the man and woman of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. Like, in scripture, we find life and we find instructions for how we should live. There's a better way that's better than this world. And so when you think of Legos, I would say the first thing you probably think about is, what can I build with these Legos, right? Like, you see maybe a box of Legos at your house, or you get this giant Star Wars Millennium Falcon Lego set that's thousands of pieces, and you're like, man, I'm going to build that. Like, that's going to be awesome. But what you don't think about, and maybe you do, I would think you're a little bit crazy if you think this. You don't think, hey, what can I build so I can tear it down in 10 seconds? No one thinks that. And if you do think that, you're not going to build something super cool and then tear it down. Because in reality, it'll probably take hours to build something super awesome, and then you can tear it down in a matter of seconds. And wait, that's the same way it is with our words. Our words can build up someone, or they can tear them down, all within a matter of seconds. So I can destroy this Lego astronaut faster than I built it. I built it in 30 minutes, and I could just throw it down right here and destroy it in seconds. I'm not going to do it, because I have a reason for not doing it. But what I'm really trying to get at is that building it took me thoughtful effort, whereas tearing it down would take thoughtlessness. I wouldn't have to think to tear it down, right? And so today we're going to see what God's word says about building others up and why it's better to do that than tear them down. And we're going to be proving this morning by answering five questions in God's word. The first question we're going to answer is, why do we tear down others? The second, what happens when we tear down others? The third, why should we build up others? Fourth, what happens when we build up others? And then finally, we're going to close it out with how we should build up others, because we're going to see the joy that comes from building up others. And so that first question is what we're going to answer, is why do we tear down? But first, I want to kind of give meaning to what do I mean when I say tear down others? Like, we're not physically tearing someone limb from limb, right? But we're doing it with our words. And so what it, tearing down others is saying or doing something to someone with the intention of hurting them. All right, tearing down others, saying or doing something to someone with the intention of hurting. So why do we do this? Well, Jesus actually tells us exactly why we do this. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, he says this, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." So if you're hurting others, friends, it's probably because of where your heart is. The posture of your heart is not secure in Christ. It's not wanting to live out the fruits of the Spirit and live by the Spirit. And it could be multiple things, like maybe you have, you know, pride because you're better than someone else. Like, hey, like, I'm a better basketball player than you. And so you're tearing them down. Or maybe it's insecurity because you think someone's better than you. So you just have to tell them something to tear them down to make yourself feel better. And so you tear them down. Maybe it's defensiveness because you're scared of what others think of you. You react in a certain way. Or it could be popularity, because you want this friend group to think you're cool. So, hey, I'm going to do something to that person, and they're going to think it's funny. They're going to think it's cool. And so, yeah, I'm just going to tear that person down. And or maybe you want the approval, like, oh, I want those people to think I'm so cool, and I want my friends to like me, and I know they'll like me if I do this thing, if I say this. And, man, that's just tearing others down. And the list can go on, and it can go on. But really, in the reality, the reason we do this is because of what's in our hearts. And that's because our hearts are sinful apart from Christ. And I've done it in my own life. When I was in fourth grade, I remember my class had a party. And we had, like, cupcakes in class. And where I was a member of the table, I was eating with about five people at my table. And we were eating cupcakes. And there's a girl at the table. She was eating a cupcake in the way, like, you know how you can, like, take the wrapper off and take a bite? Well, she, like, wasn't doing it. She was, like, eating it, like, with the wrapper on. So, like, icing was getting all over her face. And, like, it seems funny. And she, like, came up from her cupcake, icing all over her face. And I was like, hey, you look like a freak show. And her face just looked at me. And she was just like, oh, that hurt her. She actually started crying. And I know, like, that sounds silly. Like, oh, that shouldn't, like, hurt her. But we were 10 years old. We were in fourth grade. And I said it, and all my friends at the table started laughing at her. And that hurt me, because now that I think of it, because in that moment, I was tearing her down. All for the popularity. I was doing it to build myself up. I was not caring about what she thought or who she was, but I was building myself up and wanted friends to laugh at the comment I made, and the joke was at her expense. And so that is where the hurt can come from, is an example like that. The second question I want to answer is, what happens when we tear down others? God gives us a lot of wise instructions in a book called Proverbs. It's a lot of little wise sayings that we can really apply almost all of them to our life. But Proverbs talks a lot about the harm we can cause with our words. The first proverb I want to look at is Proverbs 12, 18. It says this: there is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. There's one whose rash words are like sword thrust. Another translation would say that reckless words are piercing. And so it's pretty harsh to say. Like, this, the imagery we're getting from this is showing how hurtful our words really can be. They're literally like, or symbolically like, stabbing someone. And there's like the old saying, and y'all may have heard this. It was kind of around when I was growing up. It's like, hey, sticks and stones may break your bones, but words will never hurt you. Oh my gosh, that's a lie. And the reason is, sticks and stones can hurt your bones, I would say. But that last part, words will never hurt you, that's a lie, because words do hurt. God's word literally says that reckless words are like stabbing someone with a sword. And so I just want to remind you that you may like remember when you had a bad bike crash or how you broke your arm, but you may remember that and like all the details, but you'll always remember someone saying a hurtful word to you. I can name multiple times I was hurt from someone's words. And so the last part of that verse says, the words of the wise brings healing. And so it's God showing us that there is a better way than choosing to tear people down. Proverbs 16, 28 says, a dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisperer separates close friends. If I can paint a little picture to this, a dishonest man is pretty much, you know, you're deceiving, you're lying. Or it could be a troublemaker and spread strife. And that word strife really means anger or bitterness, or really to cause conflict out of that anger and bitterness. So saying like a troublemaker creates conflict, and a whisperer separates close friends. What it means by a whisperer is pretty much a gossiper. And we know what gossip is. That's talking about people behind their back, pretty much saying rude things when they're not around. And a gossiper separates close friends. And so this verse is God showing us the effect that our words can have. And literally the effect from this word is that there's conflict and that you're gonna lose friends. And so what's the better way? As we keep moving on, we see Proverbs 26, verse 18 and 19 says, like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, oh, I'm only joking. I think this is the most convicting verse to me in this entire teaching, because God's literally telling us that we should only speak words that build up others. And yet, a lot of times, we just tear people down for the sake of a joke. A madman or a maniac lies and tells them a joke. So how often do you like make fun of someone and then say, oh, don't take it seriously, like I was just joking. But that comment that you made a joke about them, actually, you meant it. But you're just using that as a cop-out, like, oh, I won't get in trouble now because, oh, it's just a joke. Like, don't take it literally, but it hurts. It's like, hey, there's some truth to that actually can hurt. And I know I've done it in my own life. And God compares those words to arrows and death. And it's very dramatic because God wants to show us how serious it really is. And so what happens when we tear down others? Simple answer, we hurt people. We hurt people. And so if we go back to that comment I made when I was in fourth grade to that girl, I did it for a joke. I literally was like, oh, I'm gonna make my friends laugh at her expense. Like, I'm gonna make her the joke. And all I remember from that is I remember her crying, and I remember I had to apologize to her. And in that apology, in front of my teacher and stuff, she told me more ways that I had hurt her with my words and things that I've already said about her. But that was just the tipping point to where she made it known that I was hurting her. And I had to apologize to her parents, because my parents were like, hey, you're going to apologize to her parents because you were rude to their daughter. And man, that's hurtful to think back on. And I wish I could have done that differently. Because I feel like I probably didn't mean that apology. I was just, it was just a joke. Like, but I'll go through the apology because they're asking me. But now I'm like, man, I truly want to repent of that. Because I bet that girl remembers when Ryan Fitch called her a freak show in fourth grade. And I bet that made her feel so insecure. And it probably affected how she viewed herself. And so it's hard to forget hurtful things like that. But that's the negative. That is what we don't want. We don't want to tear down people. So what's the other side? So how do we build up? God, we now know what God says about tearing down. And we know that that's wrong and that's hurtful and that's not the life we want to live. So what's the better way? And the better way is building up. So why should we build others up? Well, we can go to James chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. It says, with it, and it is our tongue, with our tongue, we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, these things ought not be so. At Wake, you've heard us talk about Imago Dei, and that is a way of saying image of God. We are all, everyone in this room and everyone on this earth is made in the image of God. We are made in the likeness of God. So what does that mean? That means God has given us value. He's given us worth. He's given us a purpose. He's created us in his likeness. And so we should build others up because everyone else around you, including yourself, is made in the image of God. And when you have that perspective, it's really hard to tear someone down because you wouldn't tear God down, would you? So why would you, in the same way, something he's created in his image, why would you want to hurt them as well? So when we dishonor others, we really dishonor God because he's made others in his image and he's given us immense value. And also that verse says that our words are a blessing. Like they can be helpful. And they can be encouraging and uplifting, but they can also be a cursing. And that's not talking about cussing specifically, but that's a way. It's talking about cursing and gossip. It's talking about hurting others, having the intention to hurt others. And so we move on, and we can see in Proverbs 16:24 that says, gracious words are like honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. This is a simile, and I'm sure y'all should know that from English class. Like what God's word is doing here is God is comparing gracious words to what? Honeycomb. Great. Y'all know what a simile is. Let's go. And so these words, what are gracious words? It's those words what I just said earlier. It's upbuilding. It's encouraging someone. And it's honestly giving them a perfect, it's speaking life into them. It's helping them rather than hurting. And when that happens, it is like honey to the soul. And when you think of honey, you add honey to stuff to make it sweet, to make it good. If you don't know, honey actually has a lot of health benefits for your allergies. And so words that build others up bring life and value, like honey brings life and value to food. And so speak gracious words is what God's calling us to do. Move on to the next verse. It's one of my favorite verses in the entire Bible. It's Ephesians 4:29. It says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only talk that is good and suitable for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. God literally tells us in this verse that we should only speak for the building up of others so that it may give them grace. And what does that mean? Grace, we know that as an undeserving gift. It is a position that we receive from God, that we have received his grace. So it's a gift. When we build others up, it is a gift to them. We are giving a gift we've already received from our abundance and our relationship with Jesus. And so I think, honestly, we can make this verse a rule in our lives. And I want to call it the 4:29 rule. And basically what that would mean, and this could play out in your small groups, but I honestly think it should play out in your own life, is the 4:29 rule should be this. If you say something hurtful, something rude, something degrading or discouraging to someone, hey, I would challenge you to 4:29 rule yourself. Say, hey, I 4:29 that. And what that means is you want to live out this verse. You don't want corrupting talk to come out of your mouth, but you want to build up that person. And that's what you would have to do if you 4:29 rule yourself is go to that person and say, hey, I'm so sorry that I said these words. And I know that could be hurtful. Will you forgive me? And then say something helpful to them. Encourage them. seek to build them up, say something nice about them. And truly, I think it would be more gracious to your soul as much as it is to theirs, because there's something good about it. And so 429 rule. Leaders, I think we can make it a thing in small group. In Wake, I think we can make it a thing in our lives to always remember Ephesians 4:29. Then that fourth question, what happens when we build others up? Well, when we build others up, I've already said it, we encourage them. And I think you should already kind of feel that we're giving people value when we encourage them. We give them life, and it's a better way to live. And it's actually really, really fun to live in this way. And so a quick way to like sum this up, like I would say that it is better to speak words of life than it is to speak words of strife. Because when we've seen strife, we've seen that causes anger, causes bitterness, and that's conflict. But when we speak words of life, that's for the upbuilding and for the value and for the purpose of lifting that person up. And so this past week, I went on a retreat with the Institute program that I'm in here at Watermark. We went to Pine Cove Bluffs, and we, at one point, yep, come on, go Pine Cove. And we sat in a circle at one point. So it's about 40 of us in a circle, and we've been in class, the same Institute class, for, man, almost 8 months now, since August. And so we know pretty much everyone in this 40-person circle really, really well. And what they challenged us to do is they said, hey, how about you and why don't y'all just encourage each other? Like, y'all have known each other for about 8 months, and why don't you just tell others in front of everyone how you've seen God's heart in their life, how you've seen them build others up. What has encouraged you by this person? And I actually had the opportunity, and it was really fun, to encourage two people on the Wake team. I got to encourage Grace and Andrea. And I got to look at them in front of everyone. I said, hey, I'm so thankful that I've gotten to serve with y'all, because I've seen how responsible each of you are. I've seen how diligent y'all are. And I've seen how caring y'all are just in the context of Wake, and how much they care for y'all as students and as leaders, and setting up Snack Shack and setting up small groups well, and fun events like D-Town. And it was honestly super encouraging for me to do that, just as much as I believe it was encouraging for them. And people encouraged me, and I just got to watch people encourage other people, and it was just refreshing to my soul. It was literally, the gracious words were like honeycomb. They were sweet to the soul, and they bring health to all who hear. And so building others up, Wake, is always better, because when we do it, we live like Jesus, and we all need encouragement in our lives. Whether you think it or not, you need encouragement, and the person you're looking at needs encouragement. And it's always better than tearing down. And then the last question would be, what happens, or how do you build others up? So how do we do this? I kind of just gave an example of how I did it this past week. And so how would you do it as a middle schooler? And it's really simple. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says this: therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you're doing. Paul is encouraging the church of Thessalonica to keep doing what they're doing. And what are they doing? Encouraging each other and building others up. And we're to apply that to our lives as well. And so it could look like you go into your small group leader and, you know, maybe you say like, hey, I'm so thankful that you're at group every week and that you take the time to pour into us and invest in my life. Or it could be going to your friend like, hey, like, thank you for coming up to me after that game. I know I didn't play super well, but it really encouraged me in the way you still cared for me even though I had a bad game. Or it's like, hey, I know it's been tough right now, but I just want to let you know that I'm thankful to be your friend and I'm happy to hang out with you. Or it could be, you know, going to your small group leader and just encouraging them in what you've learned throughout Wake and how you can apply that to your life. And so when we think about these things, it's super encouraging to do that. And when we do that, you're building someone up. There it is. Woo! But you literally just tell them how much they've encouraged you, and you tell them how much they've helped you. And it's that simple. It's that simple. It's easy. Proverbs says it's sweet to the soul. Like, you will be encouraged just as much as your small group leader or your friend or maybe your parents. Thanking your parents, encouraging your parents for just being a good parent. Thank you for giving me this house. Like, I'm encouraged that you love me so well that I get to go play sports, that I get new shoes. And so this Lego set, in the same way, is better when it's built correctly, when I follow the instructions. And it's easy to tear it down, but why would we do that if it's beautifully built the way it is? It's cool, it's awesome, it's an astronaut. And in the same way, each of you are made in God's image, and each of you have been given worth. In fact, God's word says that he has created you and crafted you, and you are beautifully and wonderfully made just the way you are. You don't have to be like other people. You don't have to seek others' approval. You don't have to be the most popular. You don't have to be insecure about who you are because God created you just as you are. And so people's words still hurt, though. Like, I'm not discounting that, hey, when someone says something hurtful, like, it does hurt, but God still values you. He will never say anything that's going to hurt you and not be for your benefit. So you're beautifully and wonderfully made. So why tear down what God made beautiful? And you should only want to build it up and make it better, just like Legos, man. And so I think that we all have a challenge here. I think we all have a lot that we're bringing into this talk. Like, maybe you heard everything I just said, and you're like, there's two sides of the spectrum. You can be the bully, or you can be the victim of the bully. Like, either you heard all the stuff I read off at the beginning of the sermon, you're like, man, that's me. I say rude and hurtful things to people and tear them down because I want others to think better of me. I want to build myself up and look cool. I want to seek popularity. Or you're the other side, man. Or you're literally the one that's receiving that. Like, man, people tear me down, and I see that they're just trying to make themselves look better, and it hurts. Their words have stuck with me, and it makes me think differently about myself. And yet the gospel still unites us in that. God still values you and loves you so much so that he sent his son to die for you. That in while we were still sinners, God showed his love for us, that Christ died for you. And he died for me, and he died for everyone. And we should take assurance in that, knowing that he loves us so much, whether you've been the one that's been the bully saying, tearing people down, or you've been the one that's the victim. You've received the tearing down. Like, God loves you, and he wants to help you, and he wants to change you, and he wants to encourage you, and he wants a relationship with you. Friends, that's the gospel, that he saves us. Even when our hearts are far from him, when our hearts are sinful and our sin is abundant in our heart, he saves us and he washes us clean of that. And that is the gospel we believe and we trust in, and that's why we live according to his word, because it is a better way. It is always better to build up rather than tear down. And so, Wake, I hope you see that in God's word this morning. And so the challenge this week, Wake, is seek to encourage someone this week, whether it's your sibling or family member or someone at school or someone in your small group, maybe your leader, your coach. And just remember that always it is better to speak words of life and build up someone than it is to speak words of strife and tear someone down. And so, Father, I'm so thankful that this morning we got to see the joy that comes in following you, Lord, even though it is a hard and narrow path to follow you, Lord. But it's easy because you make it easy, Lord, and it's the better way. Even when we don't think it's the right way, Lord, may we follow you. Will you give us the guidance and wisdom and discernment to follow you, Lord? And Lord, to make amends where amends are due, Lord, if someone is the person who's been tearing down people, Lord, I pray that they just ask for forgiveness to those people, Lord, and they seek to follow you and encourage other people around them, Lord, or the other side of it, if someone's a victim of being torn down by other people at school, Lord, I just pray that they see that you see them as valuable and purposeful and beautiful. Lord, that they're secure in their identity that's found in you, Lord. Ultimately, I just pray that we all have a relationship with you, Lord, that we can joyfully live out your commandments because it's an abundance of the relationship we have in you, Lord. It's an overflow. So we thank you for this morning, Lord. Help us to be better encouragers and better speakers of life into other people, Lord, that we may have joy in following you. And it's in your son's name, Jesus, that we pray. Amen.